131873. Hedley Thomas is online. We've already read the first part of the program, the announcement coming from the Chief Justice in Queensland based on the story that was published in the Australian newspaper today. And I wanted to get a bit more detail from Hedley Thomas. G'day, Hedley.
G'day, Ray. Good to hear you in Brisbane.
Lovely to be here on 4BC, mate. Hedley, I read your story, then I read the statement he put out. I sense that his discussion with Yvette Darth goes along the lines of, yeah, I'll go, but I want reform before I do. Is that the way you read it?
Yes, I do. I do, Ray. And I think that because of the situation he finds himself in, where he would have been potentially serving as Chief Justice for another 11 or 12 years, and in 3.5 or 4 years, I think he would have qualified for, you know, the entitlements that they get on the bench, and they're pretty generous pension entitlements. I think he's probably, you know, expecting the government to try and, you know, come to an agreement, do the right thing financially as well. Otherwise, he's in a difficult position. He can't go back to the bar. He doesn't have a practice. His reputation, obviously, has been pretty severely smashed up in the public, extraordinary public war that's been waged over the last 10 months. Yeah. And you can't see him getting any other appointment ever in his lifetime. So there'll be a bit of discussion around that too. But the reforms are, from the discussions and interviews that I did with the Chief Justice at his home in Brisbane yesterday, the reforms are uppermost in his mind, and he's of the view that they're very necessary, and he is Exhibit A in terms of, you know, how the judges, in his view, have misbehaved. But, you know, the other side of that coin is that serving judges and recently retired judges say there wasn't a problem until Tim Carmody was thrust into the court, and he was a poor choice, they say, and that there's no need for reform. The only reform that's necessary is to get him out.
Well, I would say to you, and because you study what happens in Queensland and are in a much better position than me, I have this view that in New South Wales, the judiciary has this view in many cases, not all cases, that they're born to rule. And they snub their noses at, firstly, the politicians, secondly, at people like me, and I guess to a certain extent people like you, who call for reform and call for change and criticise sentencing. We've had a thing in the district court here where the federal DPP may appeal, but blokes involved in the importation of 100 Glock pistols get, you know, 1.5 years and 3 and a bit years, you know, and from the district court when the maximum was 15. And it appears to me that there is a problem, and that's accentuated by the fact that the Court of Appeal President Margaret Murdo has spoken this morning and said that she denied and defended accusations that the Chief Justice had been white-handed. Well, I don't know what you call it if it's not white-handing when someone tapes your conversation and when someone, you know, says, I won't work with you anymore. All decisions I've made have been principled and based on the correct thing to do. I mean, I don't know what it's like in your business, but if I were to go to the board of this radio station and make demands of them and say, I won't work with this person, they'd say, well, you better consider your position. You don't make demands of us, you can go.
That's right. And the argy-bargy behind the scenes on the bench has been incredible. I mean, we've seen the public spats, and they've been pretty amazing, you know, from a section of the you know, taxpayer-funded institution that's normally above this sort of bickering and pettiness. But the judges, several of them, have made their position about Tim Carmody very, very plain in letters and emails to him, rebuking him and effectively saying he's unfit to be the judge. He's, you know, he's a goose. They've characterised him as a political stooge. He rejects, of course, all of those claims. And, you know, but he's, I think he's felt somewhat stranded because they won't have a sort of collegiate relationship with him. Margaret McMurdo refuses to sit on any case at all with him.
But wouldn't you agree that if the President of the Court of Appeal would say that I mean, and you can't sack judges either in New South Wales or Queensland unless there's, you know, in New South Wales, both houses of the Parliament up there, one house of the lower house, obviously. But wouldn't you think that when people start to hold guns figuratively to the head of governments, that there needs to be some action? You can't actually pick and choose who you'll sit on the bench with.
Well, it does seem like an extraordinary situation, and only in the judiciary do they get away with it, because a judge can't be removed unless they are incapacitated, unless there's misbehaviour. So yeah. Margaret McMurdo can make those sorts of assertions that she's not going to sit with him on any case. And she would say, well, I had good reason for that because of his conduct towards me and his comments. But it's effectively a boycott of publicly funded work. And, you know, I can see why the public would be just scratching their heads at this, because you and I, Ray, no doubt have worked with people we don't like.
And vice versa, Hedley.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've even written about people you don't like, Hedley.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to get on with it, you know. Yeah. And in the judiciary in Queensland, there's just been this ongoing unedifying spectacle. And when Justice John Byrne, with another judge, walked into the Chief Justice's chambers earlier this year, you know, one of them, Justice Byrne, was carrying a smartphone in his pocket, in his jacket, pressed to record, and they secretly recorded a conversation with the Chief Justice, which you know, it became very heated, as they had no appointment. He ordered them out, and there were expletives. You know, it was full on, and of course,
well, as it would be if you're having a private conversation with colleagues that you don't think is being recorded, I suspect.
That's right, and it's, you're at a disadvantage when the person doing the recording is on their best behaviour, because they know they're recording it, and you've got no idea, so they can control the situation to the best possible circumstances for themselves, and you might be provoked to blow up, and away it goes. And so that was, I think, one of the last straws for the Chief Justice, to prove to him that really there was no way he could continue. The relationships were so ruinous, so severely broken down, that, you know, he had to offer an opportunity to break the impasse.
I'll just share an email from one of our listeners in Queensland at The Gap, Stephen. It's quite polite. Says, a fan of the show since I moved to Queensland and listened to you before that in 2005. He says this, and I need a reaction from you. The Carmody matter is not an issue about the sense of superiority by other judges that you've portrayed, or conspiracy even by the left. It's about Mr. Carmody's lack of experience and his inability to do the job. Stay well. Is that a fair analysis, in your opinion?
Well, I think that's certainly the view of the judges and a large number of people in the legal community. And I do believe that Justice Carmody was not a good appointment for those reasons, because he was not going to get the confidence of his peers. Ray, if you were leapfrogged by a no-name from a regional radio station, you know, you would probably think, well, what's going on there, you know? And you wouldn't respect management for doing that, and you wouldn't respect the person who took that role.
But if I wanted to get another job in the media somewhere, I'd shut up and move on.
Well, that's it, but in this situation, in the judiciary, when they do blue and criticise it, they can do that knowing that they can't be fired. Whereas if you did that, you and I would be fired if we arced up about it. But I think Tim Carmody, you know, to be fair to the Chief Justice, he was not a, he had been a family court judge. He was a silk, you know, he has been a crime commissioner, he's been a police officer, he's done a range of things.
Well, he's got, apart from his distinguished academic career, he's got a distinguished background in the law.
Yeah.
I mean, elevated to silk, as you say, federal court judge with the family court. I mean, a whole range of issues there, but that, I come back to it and tell me this, was there someone within the current judiciary in Queensland who may have thought, when the next Chief Justice was to be determined, that they were just ready to go for it?
Well, I think that that's the Chief Justice's view, and he believes that there's been a hard core of judges who were never prepared to let him attempt.
Well, who would have been in line for the Chief Justice's position? Don't name one, two or three if you can think of them.
I can name a few. I think David Jackson would have been in line, although I'm not suggesting that he's been.
No, we're not suggesting that they're behind agitating. I'm talking about the people who made.
I think John Byrne, who did the secret recording, he would have been.
That's a surprise.
On that secret recording, though, Ray, I think, to be fair to Justice Byrne, we should also point out he will say, I suspect if he were asked or if he answered our questions, he would say, look, I was potentially gathering evidence, because I was concerned that Justice Carmody might have been improperly interfering in a case which could have decided the next government of Queensland.
But shouldn't he go to the equivalent of the Crime Commission in that jurisdiction and report that, so they can have their own investigations and maybe tap phones and the like, as opposed to taking, and as you portray, if he takes the phone on record into the office, he's going to behave in a certain way knowing it's being recorded, as opposed to the Chief Justice who doesn't know it's being recorded.
Yeah, look, I think the point you raise is a valid one. Mm. If there are suspicions of inappropriate or potentially criminal behaviour by a judge, does another judge put the detective's cap on, or does he actually ask the, you know, anti-corruption agency or police to do their job? I mean, I don't think we want judges running around being detectives.
Well, they'd admonish a lawyer doing the same thing in their court, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you raise a very good point. I mean, the whole situation is just... been
bizarre.
Dreadful for public confidence in the judiciary. And expect people on $500,000 a year to behave a lot more sensibly.
All right, Hedley. I appreciate your time as always. Thank you for that.
Good on you. Thanks, mate.
Hedley Thomas, the National Chief Correspondent for the Australian newspaper.